and welcome to episode 67 of Ardent Run Club. I'm Tommy, I'm your host, and today I'm joined by another athlete from the Northeast. He's a co-founder of the Northeast Project, triathlete, training hard and working hard. So ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Ben Palmer.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. So I appreciate it.
Hey man, so good to have you here. I've been looking forward to chatting to you, obviously ever since chatting to Kieran a couple of weeks ago. I've been looking forward to chatting to you. So thank you for agreeing to do this, man. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Not a problem. I'm looking forward to getting stuck in and answering the questions and stuff. And yeah, it should be good.
Happy days. All right. Well, I guess we'll start off. I mentioned you're a triathlete. What brought that along? When did you start doing triathlon? Yeah, what's the story behind that?
Yeah, so something very new for me, to be honest. Something that I started last year, sort of like May 2020, which I was injured. Which meant obviously I couldn't do much running and stuff. So I was just focusing a lot more on the rehab stuff and the recovery process. And part of that I found to keep my fitness up was the swimming and cycling element, which I was swimming from a younger age anyway, but the cycling I was quite new to. So I started just specifically doing that stuff, just trying to keep my fitness up and ultimately learned about the two other disciplines on the triathlon scheme, with no real intent to get into triathlon. And then there were just some races coming up through summer, which a few of the athletes in the club were planning to target. And as I was getting back into my running, I thought I wasn't quite ready yet for some of the higher end races in the calendar. And I thought into a new discipline would be a good idea. So yeah. Tried a few triathlon races, which I've only done two or three, as triathlon season sort of fizzling out at the time. But yeah, then I did my first one at Castle Howard in July. Really enjoyed that one. That was good. And then completed my second one at Harrogate, which I learned a lot from. So yeah. from there, really, I've just been training on all three disciplines and trying to get into my triathlon more and ultimately learning about the sport as well. Something quite new for me. But yeah, it's been a good start to the journey on that side.
Nice one. So I assume that your best discipline is running.
Yeah, probably between running and swimming, to be honest. Okay. As I say, I used to swim when I was younger, so I've got a bit of experience on that side. The weakest is definitely cycling. But yeah, you've got to admit your weaknesses, haven't you?
Yeah,
so I'm kind of working that at the moment, but definitely the running and swimming are the probably level with the strongest.
Yeah. So what do you think is the hardest to... what's actually the most physically demanding out of the three disciplines?
Well, as a running coach, I'd be inclined to say running. I can't sort of have to, don't I? I think in terms of cardiovascular and physically, it has to be running in the sense of obviously the impact that it puts through your muscles and joints. And also the mental side of it. I mean, in terms of a bike, like obviously you just sat down. So if you're doing, say, a cycling session from one Zwift, you can just stop pedaling and you sat down. It's all good. Whereas running, obviously, you're out and about and you're on your feet. So it's a lot more intense compared to the other two. So I would probably say running in that aspect. Yeah.
And just for someone like me who doesn't know too much about triathlon, what does a triathlon race generally look like? And what sort of distances is it?
Yeah, so there's two main distances, really. There's like a sprint distance, which is the one that I do, which for most of them, I believe, is a 750-meter swim. So you always start with the swimming discipline, and then you progress into the bike discipline, which I believe is 21K. It's around sort of 14, 15 miles. And then you move into a 5K run at the end, transitioning from the bike to the running and finish on the run. But then obviously there's people who do the Olympic distance, which is, I believe, double all those distances. So it's close to a mile swim, 42K bike, and then a 10K run, I believe. So that's like the Olympic distance, the traditional one. But then, of course, you get all the diehard core fans who get into their Ironmans and all that sort of stuff.
I appreciate you telling me that, because I literally thought that every triathlon was an Ironman. And I just thought, how do people do that? But thank you for clarifying. I might be able to get into it then.
To be honest, from an outside perspective, someone who perhaps doesn't run probably thinks it's all just about marathons from the running community side. So I understand that it's the same sort of principle on that side. But yeah, as I say, I've always been inclined on the faster efforts. I was much better with the faster stuff when I was younger, in my running days. So yeah, that was something that I wanted to progress into my triathlon, to stick to the sprint discipline.
That's good, man. So when did you start running then? Because I know you said you did swimming from an earlier age, but what about running?
Probably like 8 years old, to be honest. I mean, in terms of primary school, running with the group there, and the other kids in my school, of course, and just doing it for fun, just trying different sports and stuff. And then you sort of realise that you're good at one sport and then you stick with it. My sister's sort of like 2-3 years older than me, and she went down the sort of the same path. So I was just naturally inclined to follow that path as well. And then I started doing really, really well at the primary school competitions. And I just carried it on from there, really, and I loved it.
Yeah. Was it always the endurance events, or did you ever do any sprints and stuff?
No, I wasn't really inclined with the sprinting and stuff. I didn't really have that raw speed in terms of over like 60 metres, 100, 200. I think especially when you are younger, it is a lot talent-based.
Yeah, it is. So,
I definitely found my forte in the longer cross-country runs and that stuff.
Yeah, man. And did you say you were good from the start, or was it more of a gradual thing?
I was pretty talented at the start. As say, like the local competition for the primary school stuff, I used to always come second. This line from the name just always come first. I'm actually really good friends with him to the day. Joshua Allen, if you know him, he was phenomenal back in the day. But then as I got through sort of 11, 12, 13, joining Middlesbrough Mandale with Martin Pivo, who's a fantastic coach. And there was some phenomenal athletes who joined that group. And then as I sort of progressed through my teenage years, some really talented athletes. So it was quite tough for me, because obviously I was a pretty good runner myself, but then also these phenomenal athletes who I luckily got the chance to work off as well.
So that
was brilliant.
That's awesome, man. So looking back over the last few years of running, what's been your favourite race that you've done?
In terms of specific race?
Yeah.
Oof. Good question. There's a few track races that I've particularly enjoyed, but to be honest, I think the one I've been proudest of was Norden's Relays that I did, I think, 3 years ago with the team, which we managed to get a silver medal. That competition, so that was really good. I enjoyed that, and also qualifying for the Northeast team 4 years ago, that was phenomenal. So I think in terms of my two best performances was definitely those two in the cross country side of it, even though I'd probably say I'm more of a track athlete.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would never have expected a track athlete to say cross country. It's like completely opposite discipline.
100%, yeah. But if you delve into it, especially you see the professional side of it and the younger athletes, all the track athletes do cross country. And it's a massive foundation to be able to use your strength and your power in cross country, and then that rides into your track season next year. A lot of track athletes do tend to do that.
Yeah. I guess as well, that's probably got something to do with like the mental aspect, because that when you're doing cross country, it's hell. Like it doesn't look nice. The it looks too muddy and sludgy and disgusting. But then when you're out on the track, there's nowhere to hide, so you just have to push. You just have to go. So I guess there's that aspect too, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. The cross country never looks pretty, does it?
Except in America, it looks nice in America.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
that's right. So on the other side of that, then, what's the worst race that you've ever participated in?
Oh, I've had a few. I did a Northern's race about 5 years ago, and I just completely fell apart. Set off way too fast.
Yeah.
The course itself, I'm sure there's a few listeners who've got different courses that they just don't go with. Every time they hear that course is on for the year, they just fall apart. That was the same for me. I think it was in Leeds somewhere. And as previously said, two not very good races then. I tried to go out hard to be brave, and it just backfired and it didn't work well. And by that point, when you feel yourself slipping down the order at a cross-country race and the rain's battering away, it's not healthy. But yeah, that's probably the worst one I've ever had.
Did you complete it?
Yes. I think I actually like very vaguely jogged/walked at the end. So I was so fed up. I was sort of like 16 and, you know.
Yeah,
battling through all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, that was probably the worst. I think we've all been there once or twice, haven't we?
What sort of thing do you learn from that? Especially with it being such a young age.
Yeah, I think definitely immediately in terms of the short term, you don't learn anything from it and you sort of put yourself down on it and it ruins sort of confidence stuff. But then actually, as you get older and you look back, it's a massive learning curve in the sense that not every race is going to go 100% your way. And there's only some things in the day that you can't even control in terms of your weather, in terms of how your other athletes have prepared for it. I mean, you've got no control on that side of it as well. So it's ultimately to be more relaxed and actually take the sense that you can't control every element of the race on race day. So, yeah, I think it definitely comes into it when you get older. But I think at the time, it does damage you a bit. But you've got to get on with it. As I said, there's another race around the corner within two, 3 weeks.
You're right. And when you say something like you can't control every aspect, such as the weather, does that give you more comfort or does that make you a little bit more nervous? Because I can see both aspects. Like, if it makes you more nervous because you're like, I don't know what's coming, but feeling more comforted because you're like, well, everybody's in the same situation. Just got to go and perform as best as I can.
Yeah, I think it completely depends on the individual that you are and the type of athlete you are. Obviously, we're all different in all in all different ways. Me personally, I mean, I love it. But obviously, when you are not doing as well as you plan to and you feel yourself slipping back and then you start to take all these negative factors that initially on the start line was firing you up, now you're actually using it as an excuse and a way to sort of hit yourself and say, oh God, you're not as good as you thought you were, or you're having a bad day, that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it depends on the type of athlete you are, I think, 100%.
Oh, fair, man. Thank you for answering that. Let's talk a little bit about your training. So, have you got any races coming up right now?
So not currently, no. So, I'm currently just feeding back from injury, which I had Oscar Schlatter and the early part of the year. So, not a good one.
Is that an injury, right? Or is that?
Yeah, it's sort of a few aspects really. But it lies just below the patella on top of the tibia on the top of the shin. But a lot of it's causing like tight quads and stuff and on the IT band and the top of there really. So it sort of feeds on that lateral side of the quad knee and then into the shin as well.
Loads of training and not recovering or.
I think. It comes from more me personally. When I was younger, I had shin splints for a lot of years.
Okay.
There's two types of shin injuries, which is like proper shin splints, which you get for sort of young adults, sort of teenagers, sort of stuff, which I struggled with for years. Something I'll talk about there. And then Oscar Slatus is the other one, which is a lot harder to get rid of. So I think that just comes from me personally, from my sort of running background and what I went through when I was younger.
And so currently how long were you just out for with Oscar Slatus?
Sort of like three, four months really. But then again, that's why I went to sort of the cycling, swimming element of it. To ultimately try and keep fit. And keep on top of it.
So what's training look like now? If you haven't got anything coming up, what are you training with? Well, not what you train. What is training look like?
I get you. So I think obviously the most important thing is when you don't have anything scheduled is to create a schedule of what your training week is going to look like. So for now, currently, it's just all about beating training times and just being consistent with the training itself. So typically on a Monday, it would be like a long ride. Tuesday would be a swim in the morning and a hard cycling session. Wednesday would be like a longer endurance ride. Thursday would be a hard swimming session and some gym work. So like heavy lifting, squats, deadlifts, all sort of stuff. And then Friday, I tend to get some easy miles in. I'm only running like 2 times a week at the moment, just easy 3-4 miles and a few faster strides. And then Saturday, Sunday again would be a hard cycling session on Saturday and then a longer ride on Sunday to build the aerobic foundation in that sense. So you've got to keep all your disciplines even and stuff, but obviously I haven't been running as much at the moment, so it's been more on the emphasis on the cycling swim really.
Yeah. So the focus nowadays is more. Is it just because you're coming back from injury, or is it like you really want to go deep into triathlon?
It's a hard question to sort of answer, really, because I guess I don't really know. I've only done two triathlon races, and I haven't had that full winter preparation to be able to say, right, this summer I'm going to smash triathlon, and then I can decide what I'm going to do. It's hard. I'm going to have to do at least 10, 15 races before I properly decide whether this is the path I want to go down. But I enjoy the mix of the three disciplines. And certainly as well, if you're running yourself, it's a great way to get additional aerobic working without the impact.
I think that's interesting, because I was literally just before this, I was on Instagram, and there's this runner who is injured, so she's just cycling, and she's like, oh, I miss running, which I assume you would have felt that as well. However, it's like you're taking the positive out of all the training that you have been able to do, and it's become a passion, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool perspective, I think.
So. Yeah, oh god, yeah, 100%. And there's certain things, I mean, there's not many, but there's certain things in the cycling swimming element that are actually, you can't get in your running, like in terms of quad strength and endurance and your cycling stuff. And learning to place power and pressure through the pedal is the same thing as learning to place power and pressure through your running form and stride. I see a lot of runners quite weak with the stride. So there's something in that that you can alternate and take into your running form as well.
That's true. So what's your favorite sort of session that you do then? Because you've got all these different, like running, swimming and cycling. What is your preferred session to do? And what does that look like?
I love the faster sprints, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I love, you know, sort of low volume, high recovery. That's what I really get a buzz of. Nice. But obviously you've got to work on your weaker stuff and the things that you're not as good at, otherwise you're not as well rounded, and ultimately you're gonna be a weaker athlete. So if it was my way, I'd be doing sprints every week. But obviously you've got to cover the whole you know,
the whole spectrum, isn't it? So what's the worst session then?
Oh, like long tempos, thresholds, that sort of stuff. And I think probably 80% of people listening would maybe agree. But especially through Northeast Project, I mean, that's something that we foundation through every single athlete, the aerobic stuff, the thresholds, the tempos, hill running, which I think a lot of the running community don't get enough in. It's not nice stuff, and a lot of people don't enjoy it, but it is your foundation to be able to build on.
No, fair. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Northeast Project then, because like you just mentioned it, I said at the start that we had Kieran on a little while ago. So you obviously play an integral part in it. Can you tell us what it actually is? And then, what got you involved and what your role is?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so like Northeast Project is basically a club for individuals as part of a team. It provides like personalized training programs to individuals, for their own running journey, but also inspires other athletes for their own running journey as well. So each athlete gets their own personalized training plan in which they get their own the sessions, whether that be volume intensity on easy runs, which differs between every individual, and the types of sessions that they do. So for example, someone like me would do a lot more tempo and threshold work because I'm weaker on the aerobic stuff. Whereas someone else who's stronger over half marathons and marathons would need faster VO2 max specific work and more focus on recruiting more fast twitch fibers. So it's essentially creating a foundation that's personalized to every single athlete, where you can identify their specific strength and weaknesses, and provide that through the club.
Right, that sounds like a lot of smart stuff. How do you know all this science?
No, mate, you're right. To be fair, so I went to I did like a degree in coaching science, so I got a lot of knowledge from that stuff, from Teesside University. But a lot of it as well is just accessible online and stuff. And I'm not saying like just typing in how to get better at running, looking at runner's world. I'm not saying that sort of stuff. But there's loads of books out there from scientists and coaches, even autobiographies, which talk about their own running experience. Even like something like Google Scholars, like typing in specific journals and articles that are really easy to read. But to be able to research a particular topic and understand each running term.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, everyone starts as a novice, but if you do enough research through it, then ultimately you're going to get better and better. And I think obviously from me and Kieran's perspectives, it is that we're coaching 8, 10, 12 hours a day. So for us, it's minding in our brains every hour, every minute every day, every week. So whereas other people obviously they've got 9-to-5 jobs and then they return to running as the hobby. So I think it's different for us.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, yeah, it shows. And the group is growing, isn't it? How many people you got in there now?
So I think it's 135, I think, in around that, and then like 115 on training plans. So it's a nice little, it's a good bunch. As I say, some fantastic individuals in the club. And it's really well split as well. But obviously Kieran doesn't take 110, I don't take 110.
Yeah.
We split it between both of us to make sure that we can walk the next week.
Yeah, fair enough. I was going to ask, I don't know if I wrote this down, but I know I definitely thought about writing this down, but do you actually have time for anything else in your life? Because you do
we put a lot of hard work in through COVID because obviously there was nothing going on and stuff, and wasn't anything like nightclubs and football games and all that sort of stuff, so there was no sort of social things to do, so and that's sort of how Northeast Project grew, really, through COVID, because obviously at the time 2019 you could only meet one-to-one with one of the persons. That's where our one-to-one sort of idea came, well, in the sense that, well, if we can only meet with one other person, then we'll do that and we'll train in that sense. Obviously it came to small groups and stuff, and we decided to do SPGs, which are small personalized groups, so people similar ability and similar weaknesses grouped together to be able to then train together. And then obviously as everything opened up, we've pulled back a little bit and give ourselves a few hours, you know, to get the other things that we used to do before COVID. So it is tough, to be honest, and there's a lot of hours that we do spend during the week, of course, but you've got to find the balance as well between life and work.
Absolutely. So I think it'd be interesting, how did you and Kieran actually meet, and then how did you guys start this?
Yeah, so it was 2018, I think. It was at Chesley Street. Okay. It was a race, 1500 meters. I don't think Kieran's much of a track athlete, to be honest, and I don't think he's done that many. But he was racing at this track race. It was a BMC. It was.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get sub 4, and I think he was trying to get sub 4 for the 1500. Mm-hmm. He was racing for Sedgefield Harriers at the time. I was racing for Middlesbrough Mandale. And anyway, we raced together the first time, and I didn't talk to him after, to be fair, the first time, and I think he beat me on the first one. And then we raced again, like I think it was two months later, Chesley Street again, BMC 1500, looking to get the sub 4. And I beat him on the second one, and we just got talking on the warm down. I said like, well done to him and stuff, and we just warmed down together and stuff. And he was telling me that the fact that he went to Durham, you know, Sunderland for university stuff as part of his coaching, because he's 2 years older than me, so he would have been in year 3 as I was in year 1. So obviously he was looking for a platform out to get into coaching, because he's got such a passion for the sport, and he was on about the fact that he's doing this group with sort of like 5 to 10 individuals, just like friends of friends and stuff. And he asked me if I wanted to get involved in it and create something up in Middlesbrough, because obviously I was based in Middlesbrough, he was based in Durham, Sedgefield sort of area, and he was looking to expand into that area. So I said yes. I was in year 1 of his university at the time. I didn't have anything sort of platformed to jump into as I left university, and it all kicked on from there, really. So yeah,
that's so cool, man. That's nice. What would you say the goals are for the company now then? So obviously massive expansion over lockdown and COVID, and got a lot of people involved. Where do you see it going over the next, I don't know, couple of years or however you think of it?
Yeah, it's hard to sort of put your thumb in it and say this is what we're going to achieve in X amount of years, because I think the potential for the club is limitless, in the sense that it can go in any direction it wants to.
Right.
As long as you've got the foundations and the building blocks to be able to achieve that. I think it's important to obviously realise first that there's only 2 of us running it, with other individuals helping out as well, but the main bulk of the coaching is between us two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to say that in 5 years' time we're going to have this amount of people, 3 times the amount we've got, 4 times the amount we've got, whatever. So I think especially in this stage, it's important to build the foundation and the solidity, because it's a lot of members to deal with between two people. I think it's not really in terms of the target's not really in terms of how many people can we get to join the club. It's more how many individuals can we help and how far can we push them on.
Yeah.
I say we're not looking to get thousands and thousands of people. We're more looking to improve the people that we've got to the very best of their ability. But I think a third dimension as well is also to educate other people who perhaps follow the journey. If you've seen our club and you've saw us on Instagram, Facebook, to educate other runners and say that this is what we do and this is how you improve on this side of it and that side. So I think it's the whole perspective of it, really, to improve the athletes that we've already got, but then also educate other people of the sport.
Yeah, that's really good. A really smart way of looking at it. And I'm assuming you would coach yourself then in all that you're doing. Is that right? Or are you still coached by Martin?
Currently. So yeah, I left the of Mandale when Kieran joined, when Kieran asked me to coach. So that was 2018.
Okay.
So we're both tied to Northeast Project in terms of the affiliation. We got that through in February 2020, I believe.
Oh, nice.
Or a bit earlier than that. So yeah, we're both tied coaches.
Yeah.
Official as part of Northeast Project. Yeah.
That's cool. I like your vest. It's really cool. Yeah, the black one.
Thank you. Yeah. The merchandise is fantastic. It's really good.
Yeah.
We've got a supply company from Sprinters, they're called. They're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And they do like hoodies and t-shirts and vests. And yeah, otherwise, I'd be sat at home knitting, and I don't want to be knitting.
Yeah, that's not the one.
No, that's not the one. Be, yeah, very poor clothing.
Yeah. Awesome. So going forward then, obviously, you're getting back into fitness, getting back to health. Do you have any goals, or is it literally just get to fitness and then you'll see where you go from there?
Yeah, it's getting these next 2-3 months really on the block, because obviously we're in halfway through March now. So if I can get through to getting a consistent structure and being fit again for May, then I can look at the race schedule, because obviously the heaviest race schedule between like May and like sort of September, October.
Yeah.
So then that gives me the 5 months to look at all the races, whether it be triathlon or running specific, and then plan from there really. But I'm not starting to look to achieve all my life goals this year. Like, I'm only 21, I've got time. Yeah. I work towards it. So, yeah.
That's a good perspective. There's time, isn't it? There's time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of athletes as well, they put too much pressure on themselves to achieve a certain goal within a certain amount of time.
Mm.
When in reality, they've got time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, man. That's really, really wise. So, I guess another question I've got for you is then, what have you learned about yourself through running over all these years and through sports, and even I guess through Northeast Project? You do quite a few things that I guess would help you grow as a human. So yeah,
you're completely right. I'm glad you mentioned about the Northeast Project thing, actually, because obviously I coach like 55 people through the week, and they're all different personalities, they're all different abilities, so that how much I've learned from those people is phenomenal. Like, just such amazing people who've all got the different personalities, and they all react differently to different situations. So as a perspective, to be able to learn what works for them, what doesn't work for them, and obviously as well, like, we've all made mistakes and that sort of stuff, and I think that obviously you don't get it right all the time with the training plans, like 95% of the time you do, but obviously there's something that might need tweaking with one individual, and then something might need tweaking with another individual. This program might be working for them, but that might not work for them. So
yeah.
I think that's ultimately what I've learned in the sense that how different training is for every single person. Wow. And how much it varies. And that I sort of learned that for myself, to not put too much pressure on myself and ultimately do what I feel like is best for me.
Yeah.
And my training. Hence why I went to the triathlon.
Yeah. No. And that's really good, man. And what would you say then is your most motivating thought to get yourself to that level of fitness and to keep this company with you, Kieran, and a few other people that you've got involved? I know you got Will Bryan involved as well, and we had him on a couple of weeks ago, which is exciting. He's a nice guy. So what do you think your most motivating thoughts are to keep you going through all this? Because you've been injured. You mentioned having like shin splints when you were much younger as well. Like, what keeps you going?
Yeah, I think when you go through such a tough period like COVID, I mean, obviously, when we first started the club, we had next to zero members. And it took like sort of a year, 18 months to really get any sort of progress towards it. So when you put that much hard work and you keep getting rejected and rejected and said, this isn't right, that doesn't work. And then you build through a club where people start to believe in your philosophy and what you believe in. And then all of a sudden you've got this base of athletes and this club. I think that's what really motivates you, in the sense that you started from here and you've done so much progress that how can you really stop there, and you want to push on even further?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important sometimes to look back and actually just see what you've done, whether it be work-related, running-related, for those listening, to look back and just take a second just to realise what you've achieved, what's went well, what hasn't went well. Take a moment to breathe and then push forward from there.
Wow, that's... Yeah.
Some very deep stuff on the pod today.
No, honestly, man. I'm... Yeah, that's some good stuff. No, I'm sure people will appreciate that, man. I appreciate you sharing that. That's, yeah, it's really good. And I said this to Kieran as well a couple of weeks ago, but I love that at such a young age, like someone like you, someone like Kieran, like we obviously doing stuff, like pioneering stuff and like working hard and knowing that it takes a lot of effort to get this stuff done. So it's inspiring me. I'm loving seeing it work, and I'm rooting for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, bro. Awesome. Well, look, we're coming towards the end, but before we end, we always do the find your fire round. So I've just got a few quick questions prepared to give to you, just to get to know you a bit more and just to see what you think about a few different things. So you ready to give it a go?
Yeah, awesome. I'm feeling under pressure. Get the drink of water.
Fantastic. All right, let's get it. So, number one, what is a race that you've always wanted to run?
Nationals cross country. I've never actually raced it before, surprisingly. I was going to do it this year, but I got injured. That looks phenomenal. So, nationals, definitely.
Nationals, all right. Nationals. Okay, what about a location that you've always wanted to run in?
Ooh. The rapid fire is sort of gone. somewhere hot, I think. Oh, that's hard. Do you know what? We'll go America. I think America. Just because of the culture, and there's such fantastic coach and athletes who have raced there. And some of the cities and around there would be awesome. So yeah, America.
Fair. You've been there before?
When I was like six, so I don't remember much of it. And obviously it was all like Disney and all sorts of stuff.
Actually, let me ask you this. What's your favorite country that you've been to? I didn't put that down, but just interested.
Yeah, I've only been a few, to be honest. I really like Tenerife. Nice. I did sort of like a semi-training camp there 2-3 years ago, and with a few friends, and that was awesome to train at the track there. The weather's really nice sort of in the summer, and Tenerife. Yeah,
nice. I like that place. Yeah. All right, rank for me cross country, road and track from best to worst in your opinion.
Oh, track, road, cross country.
Fair. All right, we barely even spoke about road today, and it's number two.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say track, cross country, road, because although I mean you said that those were your best races that you did, but fair.
I do like a good road race. Yeah. It's it depends what distances. If it's over half marathon, then I think I'll pass. But I just think with the road, you can get a really smooth, consistent effort going, and especially on the roads and stuff. If they're close off the roads and you've got straight pass. So,
fair. All right. Okay. Rank your favorites out of all of these: swimming, cycling, and running. Yeah, swimming, cycling, running.
Running's top. Swimming and cycling, I think it depends what sort of day it is, to be honest. But I think generally, I say cycling second and then swimming third. And the only reason why I say that is because, and I think on a swim, you can't really relax. If I was tired and I was going to do all three, I could obviously relax and run. Cycling, you can put headphones in. Swimming, you're sort of swimming to survive, essentially, and you can't talk to anyone.
I think I'd agree with that, but that's just because I'm not very good at swimming or cycling or running. I think running is just the nicest out of those.
I think it is. Swimming's hard because it's obviously very, very technical, and I think if you don't do much of it when you're younger, it's quite hard to learn through. But you've also got to be confident with swimming as well. Like obviously if you don't like swimming, then you're not going to be a good swimmer, right? So
there's that.
So
all right, what is your favorite race that you've ever seen?
ever seen?
Yeah.
That's hard. I'd say English Skills 2016. Only from my personal perspective, because there was a lot of athletes there who were my sort of friend, and they performed really well there. I think they got 4 England vests that day.
Oh, nice.
So to watch them obviously train through the winter and put the hard miles in, then progress that through the early parts of January and February, and to come out with an England vest was phenomenal, especially when you know all the individuals. So
yeah,
I think on that side is definitely still that. Yeah.
Brilliant, nice one, man. Okay, who's your favorite athlete of all time?
All time. To the meet, you know, just no rapid fire whatsoever. brain takes a while. Do you know what? I really like Eilish McLaughlin. I really like her. She posts some really good stuff on Facebook and stuff. And I follow the journey from GNR, especially this year. And when she smashed that, and she's going phenomenally at the moment.
Yeah, she is.
She's quite inspirational. She's awesome. Yeah, so I'd probably say Eilish McLaughlin, to be honest. Yeah.
Fair. What about outside of running?
Favorite sport?
Favorite sports person out running, yeah.
That's hard.
Do you watch any other sport?
Yeah, I'm very into football. Very into table tennis.
Who do you support?
And
you support Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys playing Chelsea, aren't you? Yeah.
Who do you support?
Arsenal.
Arsenal. I don't mind Arsenal.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
We've got one of your players, Flo Balogun, yeah. He's a good player. He's a baller. Sorry, I realise I've completely swerved from the question. Oh, God, this is really hard. Why am I so bad at this?
I'm surprised you don't think about these questions.
Do you know what? I say the reason why, because there's just so many inspirational people that it's just really hard to just pick one. If I'm gonna pick one, I'd probably say Messi. In terms of football side, just because he is absolutely phenomenal in terms of his how talented he is, and just some of the stuff he's doing is just absolutely sensational. So probably Messi, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. What do you think of Ronaldo?
He's not as good as Messi, but he's superhuman as well. He's phenomenal, but I think he's a bit over his time now, to be honest.
Yeah, I was just chatting with my younger brother, and we were talking about how, I don't know, like our generation is so blessed to have grown up watching all the best athletes ever. And obviously, I think every generation will probably say that, but when you look at athletics, having Usain Bolt and then go into American football, you've got Tom Brady, and then today in football you've got Messi and Ronaldo, and these guys are in their mid-30s. Like, footballers are supposed to retire in their mid-30s, or they're supposed to go to America. Like, that's generally what happens, but these guys are mid to late 30s, still the best in the world. So that's pretty impressive.
I think as a runner as well, you can take so much from all of the sports in terms of personalities and what they've sort of been through when they were younger. There are hundreds of thousands of people who told them that they weren't good enough, or they couldn't do this, or couldn't do that. And you, as a listener, you should take that into perspective and say that no one should be able to tell you what you can and can't do. And ultimately, if you want something, you go get it, and you work hard enough to make sure you achieve it.
Yeah, man. Oh, this is a motivation session today.
Everyone's going to be going out for like a 10-mile run after this.
Exactly.
New PBs across the board.
Yeah, man.
New battle PB, everyone.
I love it.
Send them into the socials.
Yes.
Man, tag us in on Strava.
Tag us in Strava. Tag us on Instagram,
we'll take it, yeah.
Awesome. Hey, what are your favorite running shoes?
Oh, I haven't a very good experience with running shoes, to be honest. I do like the Hockers. Just in terms of the work for me, I think the good stability. I don't like the actual sole size of the shoe. I think it's too high, but for the type of runner I am, because I'm not very flexible in terms of my Achilles and stuff, so I do need that support. on the gastro and the soleus. So for me, I enjoy the hockers, but I love spikes as well, like just feeling fast and light. And,
yeah, track work.
Yeah, 100%.
Bro. Okay, do you do much reading, and do you have a favorite book?
Yeah, there's one of the books that I'm reading at the moment. It's called The Mental Training Guide for Elite Athletes, which is really good. I'm enjoying it.
Mental Training Guide for Elite Athletes. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. It talks about like the fundamentals of like your mental sort of processes through running, like how personality types play into athletic excellence, how to develop traits like work ethic, grit, desire, and how positive energy can change the trajectory of like a losing form as well. So it sort of goes through the whole perspective of running, because I think what a lot of people don't realize is it's not just the running itself which affects the running, it's also the outside stuff and what's happening through life and work situations as well, which I feel like a lot of coaches don't understand that. And it, obviously, I think when I first started coaching, that was the one thing that really shocked me, because at the time I was at university, and say I was in like 2 hours a week, and then the rest of the time I would just train, whereas like 90% of our athlete base are adults who have got 9-to-5 jobs, who have got kids, who have got families, who have got other commitments. So as a coach, you've actually got to step back and say, you respect that, and you've got to understand that comes in as well as part of the training, and how you sort of structure their training with the volume and intensity. Because obviously people's kids have got football sessions and all that, and birthdays and family events.
Other responsibilities, isn't it?
Yeah, that's something that really shocked me when I first started coaching. Not in the sense that I didn't expect it, but in the sense that I didn't know how to deal with it and structure the trainer in, which I think then you sort of reflect that in yourself as well. I mean, I'm only 21, I don't have any kids. So, but then I've got to realise later down the line that actually some of these people are literally getting up at, say, 6 o'clock, and they don't get a break till 9:30 at night. So, you know, some people that we coach are just absolutely phenomenal in how they deal with the juggling life, essentially. So massive respect to those people.
Yeah. Big respect.
Which is probably 95% of people listening to the podcast. So.
100%.
Fair play to you lot.
Exactly. And I think that's something I realized about my parents as well, because growing up, like you just want what you want and you just ask for everything and all that sort of stuff. But then you look back and you're like, yo, that's a lot of sacrifice that they made for us. So got to be thankful for that. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I don't think you realize it when you're a kid, but then obviously when you get older and you look back, you think,
He's
a phenomenal people who gave up everything just so you could have that platform to go and succeed and do what you want to do.
100%.
The other book as well was The Brave Athlete, which is a good book.
The Brave Athlete, is that by? Do you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure the author. It's upstairs, so I don't want to waste time. But it's that's a really good book. And it's about like sort of comfort zones and learning to deal with risk and all that sort of stuff. So I'd really recommend that, The Brave Athlete.
The Brave Athlete. Thank you very much.
The Brave Athlete, yeah.
Brave Athlete. Fantastic. Okay, do you have a favorite movie?
Not much of a movie fan, you know.
Oh,
I know. You look really sad and disheartened by that one. No. Yeah. I think if favorite movie, if I had to pick one, I'm gonna be another 5 minutes, aren't we? I quite like In Betweeners is a funny film. And the Avengers films, I quite like those as well.
Nice.
But yeah, not like a Harry Potter fan, not a Star Wars fan.
Fair enough.
Not really much of a film person, to be honest.
No worries, fair enough. Okay.
Are you a film person?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna watch Batman tonight, man. I love movies, man. It's
is that great. Your favorite film?
No, my favorite film is Seven with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. That's amazing.
Any film with Morgan Freeman is a good film.
Hey, any film with Brad Pitt is a good film.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So when you next have time in your busy schedule, watch Seven.
Seven.
Because that is
I will watch phenomenal. That.
Yeah, 100%.
If I'm disappointing, though, I'm sending some angry messages your way.
Oh, dear me. Nah, you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. If you're disappointed, good. It's your own fault. It's your own fault.
It's my, yeah, to be fair. No, I think so. Yeah, 100%.
I forgot to write this down. Who is one athlete that you want to listen to on this podcast?
What is in for you to interview them?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, another 5 minutes. Oh God, there's quite a lot. To be fair, there's a few people in our club who would be really interested to sort of see their insights.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you want me to name names individually.
Can do.
But no. I think there's a few people who could sort of share their experience of what they've been through, not in terms of through North East Project, but in terms of their previous running background
and
what they've been through.
Yeah, happy days. All right, North East Project.
Yeah, I can't name anyone individually, but
yeah,
I think there'd be a few individuals that would really like to, but a lot of people can learn from.
Yeah, so, sounds good to me. Awesome. Two more questions. What's one thing that's on your bucket list?
Skydive. I've never skydived before. Yeah. I don't know what the crazy thing is of jumping out of planes, but I think definitely skydive. And also I like to see the Grand Canyon as well.
Oh, nice.
That'd be cool.
And finally, do you have any hidden talents?
Sport and relays. I'm on sport and relays. It's quite a good table tennis player back in the day.
Nice.
I used to really, really enjoy table tennis. I got through to the Northern Finals when I was like 14, 13. So I was getting really good at the table tennis. And as every kid, normally with football and running, but as every kid, I decided whether it wanted to be running or table tennis. And I decided to go down the running route. Table tennis is definitely a hidden talent. Nice. Not a very good footballer, so we'll leave that to the side. Not talk about that again. But if Chris Wilder ever needs a player, he's got me in speed dial.
Jesus Christ. Fantastic. Oh, awesome. All right, well, I guess we'll wrap up. But before we do you have any advice for anyone that's getting into running and wants to be good at it?
Yeah, I think certainly the first thing to do is not look at anyone else's journeys, because that can be so overwhelming. Because so many people are being on different paths and stuff, and you see, I think social media is very heavy dominant, that makes you look in one perspective that everything's perfect with their running performances and I'm doing these fantastic marathons and these fantastic times, when reality 80% of it is hard work and tears and injuries and things that aren't actually going that well. So I definitely wouldn't go too heavy into the social media side of it. Because then you'll get overwhelmed and demotivated that everyone's doing fantastically when in reality it's not. So I would definitely say focusing on your own lane, definitely reading up, not in terms of websites and stuff, but in terms of books and even other people's vlogs as well online. There's loads of vlogs.
Yeah.
Just to ultimately learn about the sport first before you even step outside the door. And one other thing is, don't start too hard either, because I see a lot of people try to get the running bug and then they'll go out and try running like 5 miles and then they'll just lose motivation because they're not very good and they didn't be able to complete it. So start literally from the very bottom, whether that's couch to 5K, whether that's just running once a week, 30 minutes, you know, whatever that is for you specifically.
Yeah.
Just help me, don't take too many steps. Always look forward, not backwards.
Brilliant. Awesome. Ben, are you on social media?
I am, yes.
Give us your handles.
Yeah, so Instagram is Ben Palmer 11. Facebook is just Ben Palmer. And Strava, I believe, is Ben Palmer, just no spaces. Let me have a quick check. Give me 5 seconds.
Yeah. And then North East Project is it just North East Project Run on Instagram, is it?
Yeah, so if you just type in North East Project, it'll come up. On that sense, and you'll see the big red logo that sort of stuff. If you type in North East Project, www.northeastprojectrun.com on the URL on the website, our website will come up as well. So you've got all the details and information on the stuff that we do, the types of training sessions, our run journeys, and how you join as well.
Happy days. Nice. So,
yeah, Strava's just Ben Palmer.
Ben Palmer.
Type in North East Project, I'm sure it will come up.
Awesome. That's been great, man. Well, to everybody listening, make sure you follow Ben on all of his social media and check out the North East Project as well. I'm sure they'd appreciate that and would appreciate some support. Follow Ardent Run Club on Instagram and at This Is Ardent on all of our social media for updates on this podcast and us over here at Ardent. And subscribe to Ardent Run Club so you can be the first to know when the new weekly episodes come out. Any last words, Ben?
No, just say thank you very much for having me. Thoroughly enjoyed it, mate. And yeah, thank you very much for having me on.
Good fun.
And take care, everyone.
Yeah, take care, everybody. This has been Ardent Run Club, episode 67 with Ben Palmer. I hope you learned something. Hope you've been inspired, and I hope you find your fire. See you next time.